Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I'm Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
I am fantastic, and apparently very lucky not to be denied entry to the country at the moment.
I mean, yeah, that's not really a concern for you. You live...
That's what I'm saying.
I live here. I don't live in the United States while still being a citizen, so it's a little more tenuous on my side.
Not going to let you back in. You know, Canada's one of those dangerous nations we can't let people in from.
Our concern was more about being forced to go back. Because Canada going, no, we don't want you. Go away. That was more of our internal, between me and my wife, my internal discussion was, what happens if we get kicked out of Canada? Hey, guys. How you guys doing out there? Doing well, I hope. We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. Support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. For only $2 a month, you can gain access to all of our bonus content. Now, it is up to 2 bonus episodes a month. You ready for that, Matt?
I'm assuming we're going to be in a lot of movies and comic books.
There's always more to talk about. We can find things to talk about. We have someone to thank.
We do.
Simon Eddy. Thank you very much, Simon.
Thank you, Simon.
If you also want to help the show, you can go to iTunes or wherever you listen to us. Give us a 5-star review, subscribe, tell your friends. All those cool things. Help us out. Help new people find the show. We appreciate it. On to this week's episode. It is Much Apu About Nothing. Episode 3F20 originally aired May 5th, 1996. Written by David S. Cohen. Directed by Susie Dieter. Finished 49th in the ratings for the week with a Nielsen rating of 8.2. The fourth highest rated show on Fox that week, following The X-Files, Beverly Hills 90210, and Melrose Place. The familiar culprits.
Yeah.
Episode guest stars.
Never gonna change.
Episode guest stars, Tony Montaigne as Fat Tony. Herb and Judy, Nahasa Pima Petalon. Before we get into the events of this week's episode, it's a little brief, short disclaimer. This episode's about illegal immigrants. Illegal immigration, kind of a hot topic today, especially in the United States. Guess what? We're probably going to be talking about that a little bit. We're not going to, go into long, lengthy discussions about political discourse or political turmoil in the United States.
Not.
We're not, because I have final edit on this thing. So if Matt goes on for 5 minutes about something, I'm going to cut it out. However, we will still be talking about it because this is what this episode's about. If you don't want to hear about it, you're tired of it, you're tired of being bombarded, then skip this one out. It's okay. Or skip until after we're done talking about the episode and listen to us get trivia wrong. That's fine. Also, if you disagree with me or Matt or think you disagree with us, please don't contact me. You're not going to change my mind. It's not going to help me. I try and keep all of our discussion Simpson-centric.
As much as possible.
The episode begins with a bear wandering down Evergreen Terrace, like they do.
It happens, you know.
Yeah, bears. Have you ever encountered a bear in the wild, Matt?
Can't say that I have.
We had bears roam around our house.
Whoa.
Black bears.
Florida or in...
No, in Florida, not here. There's no bears in the middle of Edmonton. No, there's no...
It's a little cold for them.
But I have encountered a bear. They generally are more afraid of you than you are of them, which we see when Ned immediately crashes his car. I believe it is the same Geo...
Oh, he panicked,
The same Geo Metro that he was driving in Homer Loves Flanders. And then panics when he's trying
to
get...
fuel efficient, yeah.
Well, I mean, it is fuel efficient. It also goes like 35 miles an hour max. He can't get in the house, and he is panicking. Maude herself is panicking. Can't undo a lock. It's a skill I think I would try and learn, like under pressure. Undoing locks.
What kind of crazy lock? Is it one of those locks where you have to solve the little puzzle in order to get the...
I don't think it's like an adventure game lock. I think it is just a deadbolt. I'm fairly positive, but Flanders thinks quickly and jumps through the glass pane that is right next to the door. And a bear on the loose is a big news in Springfield, apparently. Mm-hmm. And we get a report from Kent Brockman In the helicopter.
This is Kent Brockman with a special report from the Channel 6 newscopter. A large bear-like animal, most likely a bear, has wandered down from the hills in search of food or perhaps employment. Please remain calm. Stay in your homes.
Looks like bad news for the Impson family.
That, yeah. Homer's completely unaware what the outside of his own house looks like.
I guess so.
but they're stuck inside their house, which would be fine, except that Homer has no beer. So he has to try and get past the bear to get beer. But his bear/beer adventure fails almost immediately as he falls to the ground without pants.
That's true. Well, the bear takes his pants.
Well, no, Bart takes his pants off, to be fair.
Oh, that's true. He Bart grabs his pants to save him, and the pants come off.
I don't know. I think I would try and really, like, tighten up those pants before I went, like, do a bear escape.
Homer likes
thing.
It loose, you know? He's wearing his Thanksgiving pants.
Doesn't he wear permanent Thanksgiving pants? Isn't it had been remarked that he has, like, special pants with elastic, like, jeans that
hold... I think so. I mean, they also said that at one point he gave them up for sweatpants, but...
They're jeggings. We get Chief Wiggum showing up with a tranquilizer gun, accidentally hits Barney first. Barney's off camera. That's a really bad shot. But Barney actually enjoys the sensation and drinks the rest of the tranquilizer. Then he does hit the bear. Bear's knocked out. We get the bear taken away by the Park Service and Barney taken away by Moe's. What does Moe do with the unconscious Barney?
I assume he just puts him back on his stool and puts beer in front of him until he wakes up.
And it's all a bad dream?
Pretty much, knowing Barney. His entire life seems kind of like a bad dream.
Oh, that's a little dark, Matt.
Well, okay. He cannot deter. He cannot tell from a dream his life.
Not helping. That was not helpful. That did not change the tone.
Sorry.
We learned that Maud and the rest of Flanders had to drink toilet water in the not that long time of being trapped inside the house, which Marge does try to be nice about it. They all had to sacrifice. But they, after one bear, are immediately tired of all the bears.
I'm sick of these constant bear attacks. It's like a freaking country bear jamboree around here.
Well, now, realistically, Homer, I've lived here some 30-odd years. This is the first and only bear I've ever seen.
Hey, if you want wild bears eating your children and scaring away your salmon, that's your business. But I'm not going to take it. Who's with me? We're here. We're queer. We don't want any more bears.
We're here. We're queer. We don't want any more bears.
Hey, Homer, that's a pretty catchy chant. Where'd you learn it?
Oh, I heard it at the mustache parade they have every year.
We don't want any more
bears. Sir, there's an unruly mob to see it.
Does it have an appointment?
Yes, it does.
I phoned ahead.
I gotta honestly, if Skinner, like, phoned ahead and was able to get an appointment with the mayor that same day, that's pretty impressive for Springfield.
I'm fairly certain that Quimby probably keeps his schedule relatively empty.
I would assume he'd fill it with fake appointments just so he didn't have to talk to anybody.
Well, that's not his job. It's the secretary. So the secretary maybe messed up a little bit and accidentally gave him an appointment. Quimby immediately promises action and steals picnic baskets. It's also pick-a-nick baskets. Let me excuse me. You have to pronounce it correctly.
Indeed.
Yeah. And they immediately, for Springfield, very fast acting government right there, where we almost immediately get a bear patrol, which involves roving vans.
It was obviously an executive order, Robbie.
Oh, roving bands of bear patrol bands. And then they also have a stealth bomber that is apparently a bear patrol bomber. That's what that was, correct?
Yes. It appeared to be a B-2 stealth bomber to bomb the bears.
Well, I think it's more about their, a way to avoid the bear radar.
Well, that's true.
I mean, I don't think they're offensive. I think the stealth bombers, they are of course bombers, but I think it's more their stealth. The stealth part of that name, I think, is the more important half. You know, you got to watch out for bear reconnaissance.
bear reconnaissance. Gotcha.
Bear reconnaissance.
Mm-hmm.
You heard me.
Love it.
Okay, that's all I need. I need some appreciation. That's all I need. I need some positive reinforcement. So that's how I work. I'm more of a pat in the back more than a kick in the butt kind of guy.
Well, that's accurate.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad we all agree.
It's important. You need your praise.
Yes, it is. Lisa, Homer is happy because he can immediately see that the bear patrol is doing its job. Lisa is questionable about that.
The bear patrol must be working like a charm.
That's specious reasoning, Dad.
Thank you, honey.
By your logic, I could claim that this rock keeps tigers away.
Oh, how does it work?
It doesn't work.
Uh-huh.
It's just a stupid rock.
Uh-huh.
But I don't see any tigers around here, do you?
Lisa, I want to buy your rock.
Indeed, it's very important.
Anti-tiger rocks are really vital, I would say.
That's very accurate.
I have mine by my front door.
Well, I have mine in the front yard. So occasionally we get a tiger in the backyard, but he usually, you know, wanders off.
I've been to your house, Matt. There are cats roaming about that place all over.
That's true, but they're not really tigers.
I would think that, okay, maybe the anti-tiger rock doesn't work as well on the domestic house cat, but perhaps, I mean, they are related. You would think there would be some bleed-over effect with your anti-tiger rock.
They do. They won't let us pet them, but they'll eat our food. So maybe that's
the difference.
The difference. Yes.
Okay. Homer's upset about how the bear patrol has affected his taxes.
Bear patrol tax $5. What? This is an outrage. It's the biggest tax increase in history.
Actually, Dad, it's the smallest tax increase in history.
Let the bears pay the bear tax. I pay the Homer tax.
That's the homeowner tax.
Well, anyway, I'm still outraged.
I absolutely love the I pay the Homer tax. That is, it's just, it's the dumbest joke, but I adore it. It's lovely.
Go ahead.
I was done, Matthew.
Oh, okay. Sorry. It sounded like you were going to keep going. But $5 is neither the largest nor the smallest tax increase in history.
Yeah, I think they do, like, most tax increases are, like, in pennies. Like,
usually, for most people, like, per individual, it's, like, maybe a buck or two.
Yeah, you're not going to, I mean, $5 isn't great, but, I mean, come on, Homer, they're keeping the bears away. And for $5 per person for Springfield residents, like, where the 30-plus thousand people live in Springfield, that's actually pretty cheap for all those stealth bombers.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, stealth bombers cost a lot. I'm sure they got some sort of government grant on the anti-bear patrol.
That must be it. There's a surplus. Maybe they bought the stealth bomber from the government as part of their bear surplus.
Yeah, absolutely. They instead of spending it on machine guns and giant SWAT trucks and all kinds of and a couple of stingrays so they could monitor Springfield's communications, they bought a bear patrol plane. That's probably better use.
So people are immediately.
Is that so you know where to cut that out?
I'm parsing. I just have to just take a moment, just let it all bleed into my brain, and move on. The Springfield residents are, of course, immediately upset that they are paying a tax for the service they asked for, and they go back to Mayor Quimby, upset.
Are these morons getting dumber or just louder?
Dumber, sir. They won't give up the bear patrol, but they won't pay taxes for it either.
Ducking this issue calls for real leadership. People, your taxes are high because of illegal immigrants. That's right, illegal immigrants. We need to get rid of them.
Immigrants, I knew it was them. Even when it was the bears, I knew it was them.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
Immigrants. You misspelled it in our notes, Matt. I just want to.
Oh, my apologies.
You put an R.
I didn't get the.
You put an R in there.
Colloquialism.
You put an R in there. I'm fairly certain it is immigrants.
Of course.
Yeah. So Quimby immediately proposes, well, let's do Proposition 24 to get rid of all those illegal immigrants. This is at the time, it was a critique of a then California. There was a proposition in California that was very similar to the one in The Simpsons. And I think it's really funny that if you look on Wikipedia for Proposition 24, it immediately jumps you to this episode instead of like actual Proposition 24s that have been used in the government. So the most people who are looking for Proposition 24 apparently are just looking for Simpsons episodes.
Well, I mean, they're the source of inspiration for all of our entertainment now.
Yeah, I guess so. Which you don't have to pass a law about something that's already a law. Like, it's illegal immigrants.
Be surprised what some people think.
I understand that. I mean, and that's what Homer is this entire episode. Homer is very much like, this is, which I kind of, I don't like. I think that's the thing I like the least about this episode, is the fact that Homer becomes he becomes the average American. He becomes the average citizen of the United States in this episode. That is what he does. You tell me, Matt. You think Homer's portrayal in this is out of character at all?
No, I feel like if Homer's idea is to be the average American, he is dead on.
But I mean, in contrast to other episodes.
Not really. I feel like Homer is the type of person who will take a position without really thinking it through, just whatever comes to mind. And in this episode, I feel like that's exactly what he's doing. He's just saying, oh, someone told me it was this. I'm going to go with that.
I think it bothers me only that, I mean, and of course, The Simpsons is totally not consistent on this. Like, Homer's portrayal and his empathy and his ethics are constantly in flux because they have to meet the demands of whatever the plot is for that episode. I just think about Lisa the Iconoclast, and in that episode, Lisa immediately goes like, no, I know this is right and this is wrong, and Homer immediately trusts her. Like, he immediately goes...
Well, Homer is a very trusting person, and I feel like he was like, oh, Quimby told me illegal immigrants were the problem. I'm going to believe him.
Okay. It's not crazy. Whenever they do these kind of episodes that are issues episodes, like at least the vegetarian, Much Poo About Nothing, the Cartridge Family, I always forget the dang episode that has John Waters in it.
John Waters. Homer's Phobia.
Homer's Phobia. Those are the ones that come to mind, where they're immediately like, this is The Simpsons talking about an issue that affects, you know, society. Mm-hmm. Immediately, like, all of them, you know, they make Homer like the average dude, and he's always wrong until he has a change of heart, generally, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much the thing they go with. I think they find some way to basically put Homer on the wrong side of said issue, but they don't try to make it ridiculously extreme most of the time, just enough so that he appears ignorant but not evil.
Yeah, and I don't, like, frankly, despite the fact that Homer is basically a paradigm of many of the average blue-collar Joe, of the sitcom father, he generally, outside of these, I don't know, the way I feel is that he's generally more empathetic and kinder and gentler and a better person than these episodes generally portray him as.
That's true. I mean, what I was trying to say earlier was that in these particular episodes, they kind of push him a little bit towards the slightly more ignorant position, essentially. It's like, I would say the average American, they're pretty empathetic people, but they try and push Homer towards, okay, what if Homer was slightly stupider, which is hard to come across, I know, but that's kind of where they go. It's like, what if we just turn his intelligence and life experience down a little bit? Let's knock his wisdom down to a 7 or an 8.
Out of what, 20?
Well, I mean, generally, an average person is 10, so you knock Homer down to a 7 or an 8.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, I would put him lower than a 7 or 8. I probably would put him at a 5 or a 6.
In intelligence, I'd probably say a 5 or a 6. Okay. But, you know, wisdom, he's got a little bit of life experience in there, so... but it's still pretty low.
D&D sheets for all of Simpson's characters. So let's roll them all up.
Oh, that's the next. That's one of the bonus episodes.
That would be fun. Regardless, Quimby announces that we are going to get rid of the illegal immigrants, and that will solve the problem. I don't see how it will, but of course, I think that is the whole point. We see Springfield respond. The kids pick on Uter, even though he is an exchange student in there legally, not an illegal immigrant. And then Willie, of course, stands up for him. And we learn later that Willie is an illegal immigrant.
He says, you want to pick on immigrants, pick on Willie.
Well,
he actually doesn't say illegal.
Exactly. But at the very end of the episode, spoilers, guys, for a 25-year-old episode. Well, 21-year-old episode. Willie is deported, quote unquote. Yet he comes back. He comes back. Yeah, this episode can drink. Then we get a little roundtable discussion at the dinner table. Lisa, of course, is in opposed to this proposition, and she has Grandpa. She has to twist Grandpa's arm. Not really. Grandpa immediately launches in the story about how they came to Springfield from the old country. We don't know which old country.
Neither does Grandpa. Grandpa doesn't remember which one it is.
What's Simpsons? Where does the word Simpson, where does that come from?
That's a good question, actually. Let me see if I can look it up.
Let's see.
Anglo-Scottish.
Anglo-Scottish could be a variant of the Greek Simon. So maybe Greek. Maybe it could be from Greece. If we're going further away, I don't know. That's a reach. Scotland, is that? I guess you could call Scotland the old country. I think that
it's been occupied by white people longer than the Americas.
It has. But we get the story of them coming over, which is, of all the grandpa kind of little tiny story time moments, I think it's a funny one. It's nothing spectacular, but they lived in the head of the Statue of Liberty until they filled it up with garbage. And they have a nice sepia tone on the animation.
It's true. I also really loved young Abe. Basically, he's rolling a hoop around the thing. It's like, you would die so fast at that.
I do want to applaud the character design on young Abe. He is a cute little kid, which
but still recognizable as Abe.
Yeah, I think every character design of Abe up until this point makes him kind of grotesque regardless of his age. This makes him actually look like a cute little kid before the ravages of age and having to live with Homer probably destroyed his appearance.
At the ravaged age of like 30.
Well, I don't know. How old were Abe and Mona when they had Homer?
And it's one of those sliding timescale things. I don't think we'll ever really know.
We can't answer that question. But that doesn't sway Homer. He gets the story that he himself is the child of an immigrant. That doesn't change his mind. He goes to the Quickie Mart to talk to Apu about the proposition, and he doesn't realize that Apu himself is an illegal immigrant.
When those immigrants get deported, there'll be a lot more elbow room for regular Joes like you and me, Apu.
Mr. Simpson, it may astonish you to learn that I am an immigrant.
You! I don't believe it.
No, in truth, an illegal immigrant, sir. If Proposition 24 passes, I shall be forced to leave this country. Oh, I wish I could have stayed just one more year or two. There was so much I wanted to see and to do and to have done to me.
Oh, my God. I got so swept up in the scapegoating in front of Proposition 24, I never stopped to think it might affect someone I cared about. You know what, Apu? I am really, really going to miss you.
I think that is really funny. It's a good, really good line, a good subversion of what we expect. However, I do have a... I think at this point, Homer would go, oh, Apu. Think back to Homer and Apu. Apu lived with them. Like,
You think he would be more empathetic at that point?
Yeah, that's the thing. I think it's like at this point, it's not that Homer doesn't come around. It's like at this point, I think he'd come around. It's not like it takes that much longer for him to come around anyway. But it feels like he would have at that point when he realizes, hey, this dude that lived in my house is going to get kicked out. Maybe I don't want to necessarily support it in this support this right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where most people are like, oh, I meant all those other immigrants, when not the ones I know. The ones I know are okay. It's the problem that a lot of people have. And in order to make this episode flow better, they had to basically make Homer into an uncaring jerk for at least a little while.
Yeah, that's a pretty awful thing to say to a person who who has history with you, who has a relationship with, to say, like, I'm going to miss you, bye. Like, it works in a comedy sense, but it doesn't really make Homer, like, it makes Homer a jerk. And I think that's it's immigrants, the immigrants I know are fine, it's the one I don't know, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's a problem with all these issue things where it's like, oh, I don't genuinely enjoy these type of episodes as much, like the ones that are about issues.
Yeah, because the issue tends to get in the way of characters acting normally, which we've just talked about, and the comedy is never as deeply funny as other episodes that are strictly trying to be funny or trying to make fun of something. I mean, honestly, they're important, and I feel like it's good for them to exist, but they don't get to the level of a classic Simpsons episode very often.
No, it's just like, I generally go to the Simpsons. I mean, people go to art for different things. People go to art for different reasons. You know, not that I don't like messages in my art, because I think messages like, you know, that we shouldn't just have blanket statements about immigrants, which I think what this episode is basically arguing is, like, you can't treat every immigrant like they're a giant contingent of one person. Like, every single person who comes to any foreign country, moves, you have to treat them individually. You have to confront every single case individually.
Yeah, it's weird that this giant group of people has people in it.
Yeah.
And they're all different, but because people are different.
I'm not in, like, I'm fine. I generally support that message, but I don't want, like, my Simpsons episodes, the ones I like the most, generally are, like, about other, they're about the family, they're about these relationships, they're about, like, about absurd things, or they're about, like, I don't know. I can't necessarily explain it. I just, like, the Simpsons, for so much, are considered a political, you know, they can be considered a political television show. You know, they mm-hmm. make statements about authority, and, like, I think that is one of the defining characteristics of The Simpsons.
It's, well,
like,
they used to.
That's, yeah, they're certainly, it is, it's like the tide. It ebbs and flows, and especially after season 10 or so, it depending on the showrunner, I think is the main criteria.
Yeah, that's true.
On how much they question authority and how much they push against what we consider authority figures. I just, like, I like it, I guess, more subtle, if I'm going to be like this. This is certainly, like, that's my complaint about Lisa the Vegetarian, which is otherwise a fun episode. It's just, like, it's not subtle about what it's saying. And this is certainly also
smacking you in the face with
it. It's also not very subtle about, I mean, of course.
To be fair, go ahead.
I was going to say, subtlety doesn't often work, but I feel like the people watching The Simpsons kind of already know what, like, they already know that, like, hey, you should treat people like people. I don't think, like, most Simpsons fans are, and most people who listen to this podcast are generally good, solid, hey, I care about people. Like, I hope that's not too much of a reach that they care about people like Apu. I don't know. We're getting too far
off. You'd hope so. Yeah, you would hope that people would care about people despite the, you know, where they came from and the color of their skin, these sorts of things. But that's not always true. I just wanted to point out that the message in this one, perhaps, we say it's not very subtle, but compared to Bart Mangled Banner, it's kind of non-existent.
Well, I mean, that's, I mean, I will, this is still a good episode. I'm not going to argue that. And then certainly, like, if you're going to do, like, people make fun of those sitcoms that like do those on a very special episode where where they talk about a drug problem or they talk about whatever, they talk about some social issue, quote unquote. The Simpsons is far better than any of that and far more subtle. But I think we're kind of actually spoiled a little bit because there's a lot of current shows that are, I don't know, probably better equipped to kind of tackle these things in a more organic way.
Probably, yes. I feel like one of the things TV critics are, especially ones who write retrospectives, do is they try and ask, you know, what does the TV shows of an era say about that era? And The Simpsons definitely had some themes that were reflective of the era they're in. But I feel like one of the things we've noticed doing new episode reviews and those sorts of things is that seems to have leveled off and gone in a more bland fashion. Like, if you looked at what were The Simpsons like in the, you know, to the 2000s, 2010s, it doesn't really say anything about our culture the way Simpsons in the 90s said a lot about who people in the 90s were.
Yeah. And it's complicated. And I think that's my biggest complaint is, whoa, you okay there, Matt?
All right. Yep.
I think my biggest complaint is immigration and how you deal with people here, undocumented people here in the United States or anywhere, any country, is extremely complicated. And this issue, this episode kind of makes it too simple. Like, I don't, like, it's all it is a matter of, like, Homer starting to care about his fellow Springfieldians. Like, I mean, that's nice. Empathy is good, but it's a way more complicated issue than that. And that's, I think, my biggest problem with any of the issue. I think the issue episodes, they're like, hey, let's talk about gun control. I'm like, don't talk about gun control. That's so complicated. You're a family comedy, like, with weird subversive stuff in it. Maybe that's above your pay scale. Like,
let South Park handle that. You guys
I don't want to talk about you. About my problems with South Park. But a long digression aside, that's when we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we hear Homer basically going on and on about his anti-immigrant sentimonies.
You know what really aggravates me? It's them immigrants. They want all the benefits of living in Springfield, but they ain't even bothered to learn themselves the language.
Yeah, those are exactly my sentimonies. Yeah. What the fuck?
You shut it, Bon.
Yep, he sure said exactly what we were all thinking.
And, like, that's the thing. Like, this is, it just makes, like, I don't recall Homer have, like, Mo just, like, stops, like, none, all these people who suddenly support it don't know how to speak English at all anymore. Like, it's,
nope.
Sentimonies is a great word, but it's not necessarily a word I've ever heard anyone use in real life.
No, it's not. It didn't really catch on the way Cromulent or Biggins did.
No, I mean, Cromulent and Biggins are, I don't know.
Classics.
Spectacular. Sentimonies just makes you sound like you're dumb.
Indeed. I also have to point out that Homer's signs is basically on his placard. It says, Homer say, get out.
I'm not going to say that there aren't placards out there that aren't that dumb, but I don't know. I think I'm fine with Homer having really dumb placards, because I think that's actually established in Simpsons.
I think Homer's
canon.
Grammar is definitely lacking.
Yeah. Yes. SMRT.
Anyway, we then cut to the Quickie Mart where Marge and Lisa get through the picket lines, because I guess either the Quickie Mart parking lot is where a lot of people come to vent their frustrations about illegal immigration, or they found out that Apu is an illegal immigrant, probably because Homer would have told them, I would have assumed, and they're boycotting the Quickie Mart. So only Marge and Lisa will shop there. Marge and Lisa, of course, are the more empathetic Simpsons, so they understand what's going on. But we actually get to hear Apu's origin story.
I came here shortly after my graduation from Caltech, Calcutta Technical Institute, as the top student in my graduating class of 7 million. I was accepted for graduate study in the United States.
Wherever you go and whatever you do, we will always love you. Make us proud, son.
Never forget who you are.
I won't, Mother. And I won't forget you, Manjula. I'm so sorry our arranged marriage will not come to pass.
Farewell, my beloved.
I enrolled at Springfield Heights Institute of Technology under the tutelage of the brilliant Professor John Frink.
Well, sure, the Frinkiac 7 looks impressive. Don't touch it. But I predict that within 100 years, computers will be twice as powerful, 10,000 times larger, and so expensive that only the 5 richest kings of Europe will own them.
Could it be used for dating?
Well, theoretically, yes, but the computer matches would be so perfect as to eliminate the thrill of romantic conquest in Muhurvan way.
9 glorious years later, I completed my PhD thesis. 200,000 precisely ordered punch cards comprising the world's very first tic-tac-toe program. Only the top human players could beat it.
Hey, what's this one for?
Oh!
So, a couple of things. One, those punch cards are usually numbered, so you could put them back together. And two, at some point, he probably could have gotten that transferred over to floppy disk, which was still a thing in the 90s.
When is what time period do you think is Pooh going to college?
If they were using punch cards still, it would have had to have been probably the 60s, maybe early 70s. Because I feel like by the 70s, you had tapes.
My mom talks about using punch cards, and she went to college in the 70s.
Okay. I imagine, especially at the Springfield Heights Institute of Technology.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you realize that. You guys are smart out there, you can think about the Springfield Heights Institute of Technology. We see Manjula.
And the South Harmon Institute of Technology.
We saw Manjula. We saw tiny...
Indeed. We figure out how their age difference is, because apparently she's, what, less than 10, and he's graduating from college, so...
I would say 10 to 12-year age difference.
Yeah. Which, you know, I'm sure that's not uncommon.
That's not crazy, no. Yeah. That's not... Say, how old is Apu now? Do we ever get how old Apu actually is?
I don't think so. Knowing Apu, I'd probably say somewhere in his 40s. Probably a little older than Homer.
I would say he's as old as Homer.
Well, let's see. If he was going to college in the graduate school in the 70s, if we say he graduated college at 22 in 1970.
I'm not saying 70. I would say like 75.
So then 20 years later, yeah.
He's 42, 43. Would make sense.
Something like that, yeah.
Which put Manjula at like 30. When they get married?
Probably. Which, you know, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
I think everyone would be okay with that by that point.
Let's do the math. Let's see. 42 divided by half is 21 plus 7, 28. Yeah, that's cool. That's fine.
What formula was that you just went through?
You've never seen that before, Matt?
No, I can't say that I have.
Okay, this is not a hard and fast rule. It's just a thing I saw, like, okay, obviously when you're like 24, it's not cool to date a 16-year-old, right? That's not cool. That's bad. But as you get
older, you have to be 23 to date a 16-year-old.
I'm just saying, like, there was the rule, like, that would, like, basically as you get older, the age gap in who you're socially acceptable to date gets wider. Like, when you're 40, you could probably get away with dating a younger person age gap wise than when you're 22. So,
yeah.
You take your age, you divide it in half, then you add 7. So Apu is 42, you divide it in half, that's 21, you add 7, 28. So he could date anyone that's 28 or older, theoretically. And that'd be socially acceptable.
So Manjula is not a trophy wife, she's just a younger wife.
Yes. I mean, they do have an arranged marriage, so it's not like either of them really have any say in it anyway.
That's true.
At least until, we'll get to that episode.
Indeed, we will. But after Apu graduated, he didn't want to leave without paying off his student loans, so he got a job at the Quickie Mart. And when he paid them off, which is impressive, I guess you could do that back in the old days. You could pay off student loans. Nowadays, not as possible.
You can do that, Matt. It just takes your entire lifetime.
And that's true, and selling several body parts. But by that
Matt,
point,
Matt,
Apu
Matt,
had
Matt,
made
Matt,
several
only
friends.
You only need one kidney.
One kidney,
one
most
lung.
Of a liver.
You only need one lung. You can live with only one ear and one eye.
Hey, eyes make you a surprising amount of money.
Exactly. There goes your student loan out of debt.
I don't know. If you go to a private school, that's still not enough. That's only if you went to public school. Apu had made a whole bunch of friends and just frankly didn't want to leave. He had a life here. And basically at this point, Marge is very understanding. And she decides, because apparently Marge is the only empathetic person in the Simpson family besides Lisa, that she is going to vote no on 24. And hopefully she can convince other people to do so. But good luck with that.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, we see that Kearney comes in to basically buy things that he shouldn't be able to buy and steal things that he puts in his armpits.
Are you telling me that Kearney, you've never had armpit ice cream sandwiches before?
I can't say that I have. I've had held between my hands to loosen them up a little bit, but I've never put them in my armpit. That's a little weird.
Just nuke them for like 10 seconds and that loosens them up.
That's the perfect mushroom sandwich. Yeah, it's true. I also think it's funny that Kearney's age seems to fluctuate quite a bit, because at one point he was there for the bicentennial, the national bicentennial, which would have made him more than old enough. Also, he has a kid at several points. So I think, I suppose it's possible he has a toddler age.
Age, much like Homer's intelligence, might fluctuate wildly.
But Apu admires Kearney's fake ID and asks him where he got it, and says he'll overlook the ice cream sandwiches in his armpits. Kearney, of course, makes a deal. So this leads to Apu's new origin story that he gets from Fat Tony.
Okay, here are your fraudulent documents, Mr. Nahasa Pima Petalan, your U.S. passport, social security card, birth certificate, and your death certificate. Just hold on to that one in your safe deposit box.
Most humble and grateful thanks to you.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Can the courtesy. You're an American now. Remember, you were born in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Your parents were Herb and Judy Nahasa Pima Petalan. And if you do not wish to arouse suspicion, I strongly urge you to act American.
And at this point, Apu does. He transforms his store into a festive red, white, and blue. He begins talking slowly and taking a relaxed attitude toward work. Because that's what Americans do. Homer stops by and sees that he got rid of Apu's goofy elephant statue, and Apu, go ahead.
I was just gonna say that the lazy American worker is a falsehood, in that I believe U.S. worker efficiency is actually as high as anyone in the world.
It's true. It's anywhere in the developed world.
Yeah, I would say first world. I mean, they're not obviously. We don't have like the same. There's no sweatshops and no one's holding guns to our head.
Well, not most places we work.
I mean, Amazon warehouses. You probably do sweat a lot when you're working, but
air conditioning is expensive, Robbie. God. Do you guys have an air conditioner there for the summertime?
We do. It's just not very efficient. We just open the windows.
Oh, okay. I hate you so much right now. The world is your air conditioner in Canada.
It's quite pleasant. A couple months. That's anyway, all. A couple months away, Matt. I can do it. A couple months and it's nice. I'll be good.
Mm-hmm. But Apu got rid of his statue of Ganesha because why does he need the sacred wisdom of Ganesha? And we find out.
Hey, you got rid of that goofy sacred elephant statue.
Oh, yeah. What was I thinking with that? Who needs the infinite compassion of Ganesha when I've got Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman staring at me from Entertainment Weekly with their dead eyes? Look at me. I betrayed my Indian heritage, sir. What would my parents think of me now?
Make us proud, son.
Never forget who you are.
Don't make the same mistake I did.
So, for those of you who haven't seen the episode, that was Tom Cruise as his father, Nicole Kidman as his mother, and a cow as his... a cat on Cat Fancier magazine that was giving him the advice.
Do you not take advice from cats, Matt?
Of course. Cats talk to me all the time, and I absolutely take their advice. It's usually pretty good. Well, their stock picks are usually middling at best, but, you know, they don't. Cats don't understand tax advantage accounts. It's just one of their blind spots, unfortunately.
You're too smart for me, Matt, because I don't understand what you just meant.
Okay. I'm sure there's lots of people out there that did, and that joke was for them.
Okay. I'm glad for them.
But at this point, Apu goes back to himself. He tears up his cheap $2,000 forged passport. Which
I might keep that.
I'd sell that back to somebody else.
I'd probably keep that in my back pocket for something. Like try and get some use of that. That's a spicy meatball. $2,000.
Yeah, especially back in the '90s.
That
was a lot of surge.
I would certainly hope. Are we supposed to believe that Kearney is also paying $2,000 for his fake ID?
Maybe, I don't know.
Well, I mean,
maybe they recognize Apu as a sucker.
Maybe, or Kearney only had a driver's license. Apu had like a passport, so maybe passports
have always been really hard to forge. So
passports are more expensive.
Yeah,
it's more comprehensive. I mean, he had a birth and death certificate. Kearney's probably out investing in that.
Apu wants to stay in the U.S. where he is free to think and say and to charge whatever he wants. And at this point, we finally see Homer's heart grow 3 sizes, and he tears off his yes on 24 button that apparently Apu sold to him because he wants to return it, but he can only get store credits. And with that, we go to commercial.
Yeah, I do want to say that the writing in this episode is really, really strong. Like, it's really tightly put together, and the jokes really land. They're really funny. It's my objection is more about the issues in itself. When we come back, which includes Homer ripping his own shirt when he rips off.
Buttons are hard to take off.
I guess they really are. Homer has brought Apu into his house, and Marge is worried that Homer is rounding up immigrants, which that would be frightening. But they've all changed their mind, which would be great if Marge was the only one voting. I mean, if Marge wasn't the only one voting, because Bart and Lisa, of course, underage, and Homer's not registered, which is the one thing I totally believe about Homer. that is the thing I believe above all else, is that Homer is not a registered voter.
Well, I don't believe that because Homer's had jury duty, so...
That's true.
Yeah.
Maybe he... Well, has Homer committed a felony between the time he served in jury duty and the time that he is... in the time of this episode?
Definitely possible.
Convicted of a felony, I should say.
Yeah. I'm sure he's committed one.
We did Bart the Vigilante. I mean, Homer the Vigilante. I'm fairly certain he committed felonies in that episode. They have the idea of maybe Apu can marry Selma, and that way he can stay in the country.
Apu convinced me that Proposition 24 is a big mistake.
All right. Now you've got all the Simpsons behind you, Apu.
That's nice, although 3 of you are below voting age.
And I'm not registered.
I do appreciate your concern, really, but it is hopeless. The latest poll shows a whooping 85% support for Proposition 24.
Hey, Apu, why don't you just marry some American broad, then dump her after you get your citizenship?
Hello, Selma! Selma, my dear, how are you? Listen, shut up for a second. How would you like to marry Apu so he doesn't get deported?
I'd rather eat poison. My name's already Selma Bouvier Twilliger Hutz McClure. God knows it's long enough without Nahasapeta Pita, whatever. From now on, I'm only marrying for love. And possibly once more for money.
So apparently Selma has married Troy McClure at some point as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, wait, Troy McClure, we just saw that episode.
Not Troy McClure. Lionel Hutz. I'm getting my Phil Hartman character
mixed
up.
Hutz, yeah,
Lionel Hutz. Married Lionel Hutz at some point. In the intervening, 3 episodes has been, if we're going strict chronological order, which of course...
Well, it's just at Hutz McClure, so it would have to have been after Sideshow Bob, but before Troy McClure. Well, so sometime in those, 4 or 5 seasons.
Why did she marry Lionel Hutz?
I don't know. At one point, he was trying to be Miguel Sanchez. Maybe
I'm just keeping my head. I've got to keep this straight, man. I need motivation. It has. I things just don't happen for no reason just because they're funny, right?
Have you seen television?
I have seen television. We get the what Lisa basically hits the books, figures out that Apu has been there long enough. He can apply for amnesty, become a citizen. because he's lived...
Because the government doesn't control the sky. What if he could live in a balloon?
Yeah, he could live in a balloon, as Grandpa suggests. I would not suggest living in a balloon.
That seems uncomfortable. You know how hard it is to get running water in a balloon?
No, I actually don't know. I have spent very little time in balloons. Actually spent zero time in balloons, to be completely honest. Homer decides he's going to be the tutor for Apu.
Please identify this object.
It appears to be the flag which disappeared from the public library last year.
Correct. Now, we all know the 13 stripes are for good luck. But why does the American flag have precisely 47 stars?
Because this particular flag is ridiculously out of date. The library must have purchased it during the brief period in 1912 after New Mexico became a state, but before Arizona did.
Partial credit.
Yeah, partial credit for knowing way more than any of us.
Yeah, Apu is a product of a different public education system than the United States. So he knows more about American history than Homer does. We get a gag about where Springfield is, with Bart's head, of course, blocking the map.
So boring.
So we can't see it. Well, at this point, we are unfortunately have had decades of where Springfield is kind of stuff going on. At this point,
we're tired of it. I'm sure at that point everyone loved it.
At this point, it's just a running gag, and you're just like, funny. I'm sure. Apparently, by the news group, some people are totally not cool with it being a running gag. They definitely want a concrete answer. There's only one right one. We continue to see Apu get tooted by Homer until the night before his citizenship test, in which he falls asleep.
Executive, legislative, and judicial.
No. Maybe we should start all over with the Electrical College.
Please, Mr. Simpson, my brain needs sleep. The test is in 6 hours, and many of these facts you speak of are completely new to me.
Sleep is for the weak, Apu. Now I'm going to go to bed while you look over my notes from ninth grade history.
Okay, Apu, stay awake and stay focused. Cotton Mather. Oh, no, I fell asleep. I have forgotten everything that Mr. Homer taught me.
Perfect. Let's roll.
that's a great, Homer is not a good teacher.
No, especially not for history. Maybe about television history, but not like actual history.
No, the actual history he's not so great on. Apu goes to take a citizenship test. He is taking it with, was it a bumblebee man? The sugar guy, the dude that took away Homer's sugar. He's in there.
Oh yeah,
Mo with a fake mustache is in there. Because apparently Mo is an illegal immigrant and is afraid being found out. But Apu, we don't really see what the immigration, the citizenship test is until he gets to the oral part in which he is asked about the Civil War.
All right, men, here's the order of deportations. First, you'll be rounding up your tired, then your poor, then your huddled masses yearning to breathe free.
Breathers. Got it.
All right, here's your last question. What was the cause of the Civil War?
Actually, there were numerous causes. Aside from the obvious schism between abolitionists and anti-abolitionists, economic factors, both domestic and international, played a significant...
Just say slavery.
Slavery it is, sir. Yes, I am a citizen. Now, which way to the welfare office?
What?
I'm kidding. I work.
The
welfare jokes.
Yeah, welfare jokes. One, I think, as correct Apu is about the causes of civil war, you can really just say slavery. I think without slavery,
because most of those economic factors were due to slavery.
Yeah, like the South's entire economy was built on slave labor, and yes, if you take away that slave labor, of course they're going to have issues because they can't make money the same way they used to. But
yeah,
that guy who was running the test, it was basically right.
Yeah.
Apu has passed. He is a citizen, and the Simpsons have a party for him, in which we get various speeches about what being an American is. question?
Thank you. I want to say thank you to everyone. From this day forth, I am no longer an Indian living in America. I am an Indian American. Yeah.
You know, Apu, in a way, all Americans are immigrants, except Native Americans.
Yeah, Native Americans like us.
No, I mean American Indians.
Like me?
No, I mean...
Hi, everyone! If I could just say a few words, I'd be a better public speaker. Now that you're all relaxed, most of us here were born in America. We take this country for granted, but not immigrants like Apu. While the rest of us are drinking ourselves stupid, they're driving the cabs that get us home safely. They're writing the operas that entertain us every day. They're training our tigers and kicking our extra points. These people are the glue that holds together the gears of our society. If we pass Proposition 24, we'll be losing some of the truest Americans of all. When you go to the polls tomorrow, please vote no on Proposition 24. No, on 24.
No, on 24. No, on 24. No, on 24. No, on 24. No, on 24. No, on 24.
It's a landslide. Yes, on 24. The proposition passed with a record 95%.
When are people going to learn? Democracy doesn't work.
Democracy doesn't work, man.
I'm pretty sure that means democracy does work. It just doesn't always get to the output, output that you want.
I guess that's fair. This also kind of emulates the actual results of that proposition, that the one in California, that this one was basically parodying, in that apparently leading up to the vote, the polls were very negative. You know, people were against it. It was very out in the news, there was a lot of negative opinions about it, but as soon as people actually voted, it was overwhelmingly for, and it passed. And then it was apparently turned off. Like it was a nonsense kind of thing. Anyway, it was all about, you know, you can't. It's already a law about immigration. You know, it's more a question of enforcement than it is about making things legal or illegal. At least in this case, Apu gets jury duty, so he's officially a citizen now.
And he ignores it, so that makes him even more of a citizen.
I mean, like, that's probably the most American thing he did in this entire episode, is completely ignore jury duty. We end the episode with Marge saying, oh, well, at least no one we care about was affected. And then we cut to a shot of Willie getting deported, apparently.
As the only one.
He's the only person. Well, there's literally one person they deported, and it's Willie. Willie must have, contacted his embassy or something, and they must have gotten him back, because he's back in Springfield pretty quickly.
Well, yeah, he may have just, you know, walked back in.
Where was that boat headed? Did it take him back,
to Shelbyville.
Okay, it just went straight over to Shelbyville? That makes sense.
Yeah. They just deported him from Springfield.
That makes a lot more sense. I think that this was literally an issue about them not being in Springfield, the city, where they just, we just don't want you in the city, so you have to.
Yeah.
But Willie lives
But
in the future, Willie lives in a shack on Springfield Elementary proper, so he's still living there.
He's still living there, but probably not legally. I mean, you live in a shack on school grounds.
I think that's the official groundskeeper's shack.
Which I'm sure he doesn't have to pay estate taxes or property taxes on, or, you know,
it's
report
a perk
any of
it's
his
a perk,
income.
It's a perk of the job. Are you saying
exactly.
that? Are you saying that the school is paying him under the table?
If they're paying him at all.
Oh, so Willie's not getting paid. Okay. That makes
sense. He's getting paid in rent and board.
I mean, that's not.
And retirement grease.
What is he just eating in the cafeteria? That's what he gets for his.
I'm assuming.
That's not a terrible deal. I mean.
No,
it could be worse. It's not great. You should pay's good. You should be paid for your work. Yeah. That's how the episode ends. It's a good episode. It's very funny. I still have my problems with it because of the aforementioned and discussion about issues.
You have issues with the issues.
I have issues with the issues. It's just oversimple. I'm generally not a person who's against that kind of stuff. It's just in this case, I think they really oversimplify the complexity of the thing. And I don't know. I'm not. It's not necessarily I don't. How do you feel, Matt? Do you feel like that's okay? Do you feel like they should, if they can't really cover it at all, they should just ignore it? Because that's, I think in this case, that's how I feel.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's one of those things where they're trying to do the right thing. They're trying to have their own very special episode, but do it in a Simpson-y way. And it still turns out to be a good episode. It just, I feel like when they try to do this, it doesn't make it as good of an episode as it could have been had it been about something else.
We'll rank it at the end of the show. We have one submission for my favorite episode. This is from at A. Erlenbach. Well, The Simpsons Show, you finally made it. You finally reached the best episode ever. Not only that, you get to it with perfect timing as the current U.S. president signs anti-immigrant executive orders under the folly of safety. The episode starts with a large bear-like animal terrorizing the poor Impson family, eating children, and terrorizing the local salmon. The mayor, though a corrupt philanderer, is a clearly business-savvy politician, given that he's able to create a huge bear patrol squadron equipped with a B-2 stealth bomber, offer just $5 per citizen. Not only that, he's able to get Proposition 24 on the ballot in a week, and in doing so, disrupts the news cycle that would have had the headline story be his propositioning of 24 at the ballot. When the moron vote gets angry with him, he's able to shift the narrative and even comes out ahead with a picnic basket. Very impressive. Metaphor of the rock that keeps tigers away has become my go-to metaphor for all species arguments. Even gone so far as to label a cool rock I found as my anti-tiger rock at work. We see some of the greatest protest signs ever, like United States for United Stasians. Homer say, get out. Get your ass back to Eurasia. The only good foreigner is Rod Stewart. We learned some great new words like centimonies, agravices, jamboree, and adultivity. We get a backstory of Apu, seeing his future wife reintroduced in season 9, and learn the proper spelling of his name, NAHASAPEEMAPETILAN. All other spellings are wrong. We get a callback to all of Selma's former husbands when she gives us her full legal name, Selma Bouvier Terwilliger Hutz McClure. Apparently she married a Lionel Hutz sometime off screen. It is jam-packed with non-stop laughs, the most peaceful bear in history, specious reasoning, minor violation of U.S. law, my favorite squadron, the Nye Mets, Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman's dead eyes, and a cold beer on a warm Christmas morning, and the children. Think of the children. Great show. Keep it up. If you do have a favorite episode, simply submit it to SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com, explaining why a certain episode is your favorite. And when we get to it, I will read it on the air. Next up, Matt, it is time for comments from the newsgroup.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the newsgroup is where I'll comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons newsgroup, see what people are talking about after the episode debuted. Week or two, see what they thought about it, reviews, other stuff that popped up. It's like B's and C's. On this one, above average.
That sounds about right.
Not great, but not overly negative. It's just kind of like kind of mostly reviews. Which I'm not. I would say more than an eh. I don't like letter grades because I think letter grades are a bad way to kind of judge something anyway. Take that education system. There was a person who talked about programming in Fortran, which I thought was very interesting. I have the whole thing. Contrary to what Apu thinks, the problem of computerized tic-tac-toe has been pretty well solved. Indeed, one of my assignments in my sophomore year was to write a tic-tac-toe program. Instructors took off points if they could beat your program. Also, Apu's punch cards should have had sequence numbers on them. Those numbers told you which card went first, which went second, so on. People in the punch card days weren't so accident-free that they never dropped decks of cards. Therefore, several columns at the end of the card were reserved for a sequence number. If the cards got out of order, you could put them in a card sorter, which would reorder them for you. Or maybe it would just mangle them completely. It was all in the hands of fate.
That sounds about right.
If you ever wrote code in Fortran 77, you may have wondered why your statements couldn't go past column 72. It's because columns 73 through 80 were reserved for the sequence number. The restriction was kept even as Fortran gradually moved from cards to video terminals. Perhaps this is why my crappy next computer limits all my lines to 72 columns. Editorial. Oh. Fortran 90 now gives you the option of coding past column 72. Yeah, I was curious. I was wondering about that, all that Fortran coding I was doing. I was like, why can't I only go?
Everyone spends so much time on Fortran.
Why can't I go to the end of the column when I have this arbitrary limit? I just thought that was fascinating. Weird old computer stuff.
And people in the 90s probably would have been like, yeah, we know all about this. And nowadays we're like, what's a non-interpreted language? I don't understand.
Physical, I have to code on physical media and then put that into a computer.
That's crazy talk.
What weirdness. I can't just code into a software. Yeah. And then execute.
What's compiling? Why would I have to compile code? I don't get it.
But that's about it. We can move on to our next segment. It's time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite flashback scene? So many good answers. Appreciate everyone who takes the time to answer. Really thank you for it. Wish I had time to read all of them. First from Nick. I love in Lisa on Ice when they show the different ways both Bart and Lisa bonded together. Between the ice cream Bart gives her when Lisa drops hers to the Band-Aid that Lisa places on Bart. It's a very touching moment and some of the best The Simpsons have ever done. Mitch, my favorite flashback has to be Homer's first visit to New York, where his camera is stolen. The cop makes off with his suitcase. Crime is up 8,000,000%. His wallet is pickpocketed. A bird grabs his hot dog. Woody Allen dumps trash on him, and he gets chased by a pimp until he falls down a manhole. And that's before the Chuds show up. The fact that the whole scene is nonverbal and perfectly timed to Scott Joplin's entertainer makes it even better. That is really good. Kevin... Probably Homer finding out Marge was pregnant with Bart and Lisa, leading to him ripping out his hair until he's bald. Sure, logic of them being in the house when Bart isn't born yet, withstanding him running upstairs screaming like a girl never fails to make me laugh endlessly. David, there's only one answer. When Homer finds a crashed beer truck, it was Homer's best day ever up to that point, until he found that penny, at least. John Skinner, the year was 1968. We are on recon in a streaming Mekon Delta. An overheated private removed his flak jacket, revealing a t-shirt with an iron-on sporting the mad slogan, up with miniskirts. Well, we all had a good laugh, even though I didn't quite understand it. But our momentary lapse of concentration allowed Charlie to get the drop on us. I spent the next 3 years in a POW camp, forced to subsist on a thin stew made of fish, vegetables, prawns, coconut milk, and four kinds of rice. I came close to madness trying to find it here in the States, but they just can't get the spices right. Skinner's Vietnam flashbacks. Sean, a personal favorite of mine from Bart Gets Famous. When Homer tells Bart about his first job as a street musician, scared off the customers and angered Giuseppe and Pepe, who went straight for the face. In the end, we learn an important lesson. When you're a musician, a job is called a gig. That's true. Amy, the scene where Homer and Bart meet Flanders and one of his kids in Lisa's first word. Flanders sing that song from The Wizard of Oz in perfect harmony, and one of them is wearing a Webster t-shirt. It kills me every time. Anna, when Homer's in high school in the way we was episode and says, give me some guidance, counselor. Always love that. Parentheses, that's what I went to school for. John, Burns remembering his youth on the boardwalk and laughing so long he forgot that he was laughing about that crippled Irishman. Lauren's answer, ooh, you like the monkeys? You know they don't write their own songs. They do, little Marge. They do so, I love her so much. They don't even play their own instruments. No, no. That's not even Michael Nesmith's real hat. No! Little Marge is the best. John, classic Krusty the Clown Show where he has shorter hair and discusses labor crisis with the AFL-CIO chairman. Josh, we had to sell the farms. Cows started giving sour milk. Something must have spooked them good. Cue to Homer screaming. Timothy, kid Homer getting electrocuted by the Operation Game and screaming, Mom! Always makes me laugh. Chris, bowling! Pah! Get your bowl in here! Pah! Mom, make him tell the story right. That's actually what happened. Cash me outside at the Bobby Cash. When I was 17, I drank my very first beer. I purchased with a fake ID. I was singing that song literally all night after Barney at Barney Lay. Burns disguised as wavy gravy hippie to infiltrate Greenpeace. All this time, I've been smoking harmless tobacco. Will at Will's World MN. Homer going through his best days ever and dancing in the spilled beer truck. Danny at Woosh Danny H. Homer had the best time in the backseat of his car. Flashes to make out point. Car is rocking. Oh, baby. Homer is eating. John at Chopstop 311. Six words. I thought I dreamt that kiss.
Aww.
I know. From John, my favorite flashback clips from Lisa's first word. When Baby Bart is swinging on the clothesline for hours. And finally, from Matt, in Lisa's sacks when Homer is recalling Abe's advice to him from his youth. Homer, you're as dumb as a mule and twice as ugly. If a strange man offers you a ride, I say take it. What is your answer, Matt?
I have to say one that people actually haven't said so far. In Grammar versus Sexual Inadequacy, when Homer is remembering watching President Kennedy on the TV and Homer goes and says, look at me, your mom. I'm her President Kennedy. And then Abe's speech about, we have a whole system set up to keep idiots like you from becoming president. Now quit your daydream, melonhead. That's Grandpa and Homer right there.
It is. It's, I mean, that whole episode does such a good job at nailing nailing their relationship. My answer is also a Grandpa quote, Matt, from
what?
Homerpalooza. I used to be with it, and then they changed what it was. Now what I'm with isn't it. And what it is weird and scary to me. It'll happen to you.
It always does.
It does happen. That's as I've gotten older. Yep. Next week's question, what is your favorite Apu quote? Tons of good answers. You can find this question on our social media, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod. Again, you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. We can move on to our next segment. It is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each challenge each other with 3 trivia questions, 1 easy, 1 medium, 1 hard, and try and stump the other. We do have a wager for this season. The host that loses has to attempt to eat 64 slices of American cheese in one sitting.
Notice how it's changed to attempt, because quite frankly, we're not sure it can be done.
I think it can be done, because I don't know. Unless I pull it out in those last couple episodes, it's not looking too solid for me, but well, maybe I can do it. I'm not mathematically eliminated. We have 3 episodes, including this one. Start us off, man. Give me my easy question.
All right, so your easy question for today. What job does Marge get in Realty Bites?
She's a realtor. She sells real estate.
Indeed.
I got a point.
Yay.
As long as I get the easy question right, I actually don't feel bad. As long as I get that right, I feel okay.
Uh-huh.
Your easy question. In Tales from the Public Domain, name any of the 3 historical stories The Simpsons parody.
3 historical stories. I mean, one of them was David and Goliath with Bart as little David.
Is that your final answer, Matthew?
Yes.
You are incorrect.
What?
That was the Bible story episode. This is the Tales from the Public Domain. It has no Bible stories.
Yes.
This is
That's true. It was Paul Bunyan and Connie Appleseed.
Still wrong. It's a different
How
one
many
as
episodes?
Well. They did a lot of those 3-parters. They still do them from time to time. This was the one with the Odyssey, Joan of Arc, and Hamlet.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeesh. All right,
I swear, I'm like, I'll give him 3 possible answers. He has to get 1. No, I guess not.
Apparently not, yeah.
What's my medium question, Matt?
All right, so your medium question. What is the name of Snake's car?
Oh, man. Sheila?
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. It is Little Bandit.
Oh. Does he have a girlfriend named Sheila at some point?
I believe he does. I think that's the one that Mr. Burns goes out with, and then Snake steals her back.
I completely forgotten Little Bandit. Your medium question, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
In The Bart Wants What It Wants, who voices Greta?
Bart Wants What It Wants.
Greta Wolfcastle.
Yeah. That's definitely a famous person. Oh, God. Bart Wants What It Wants. Sorry, I'm trying to remember her voice in my head.
I hear typing, Matt. Cheater.
No, I'm trying to remember what season it was in.
14, I believe.
14. Who was the... Who would have been popular in season 14?
I wouldn't go down that road, Matt.
I'm going to go with Winona Ryder.
That is incorrect. I think she probably did voice of female.
Somebody at some point, yeah.
Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, of course.
Reese Witherspoon is the correct answer.
That makes sense.
What's my hard question, Matt?
All right, your hard question. What is the nickname of the killer in Realty Bites?
Apparently, I haven't watched Realty Bites in a very long time. I'm not sure I remember there's even a killer in Realty Bites. I know. Oh, yeah, right. The houses has. There was a house that they want to sell because people had been killed in it, and Flanders mm-hmm. came and he was fine with it, but then they end up tearing up the check. Okay. The Springfield slasher.
I'm sorry. It is the Jealous Jockey Murders.
Well, I got alliteration right at least.
Indeed, you did.
I was like, I know there's an alliteration, but that didn't help. All right, Matt. I've taught myself with this question. This is a very hard question.
Yeah.
Little Girl in the Big Ten guest stars what former poet laureate?
Oh,
if you get this right, I'd be very impressed.
I'm not sure about the first name, but it's Pinsky. I want to say it's Robert Pinsky.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
You are correct.
Yes. I got one today.
I don't know how the hell you got that right. That's a really hard question.
Well, it's just so funny because he does the impression of the president saying, Pinsky! And I've always remembered that.
Why didn't I realize that and not ask you that question? Of course. Of course you would remember. I see this is... well, now I am down 10 points with 2 episodes to go. So, not looking too hot for me to win.
Not mathematically impossible yet.
Not yet. All it takes is one more episode of this. I can't do this again. I need 6-to-1s. That's what I need. I need 2 6-to-1s. What happens if we tie, man?
We either each have to eat 64 slices or we split a 64 pack.
I think both of us doing it is funnier, so I think that's what we'd have to do.
Yeah, that's what we'd have to do.
So that's what it takes. The only way for me to win is for you to get only 1 point in the remaining 2 weeks. For us to tie, you can get 2 points, and I'd have to get all the answers right. If you got 3 or more points in the following 2 weeks, I'm guaranteed to lose.
Well,
I'm sure I'll do great. I'm super confident about this. I'm certainly not already thinking about how I'm going to eat all that cheese. we've already gone quite long. I'm going to cut right to our final segment. The segment we end every single episode with. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is the part of the show Matt and I rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Where does it go, Matt?
I don't know. I was trying to look for other ones that were like issue episodes.
We haven't really gotten to the most well-knowns yet. The at least the vegetarian is the one that stands like the only one.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, all the other ones.
The only one. And the worst part is I think this episode is better than that, but.
I don't think it's better than at least the vegetarian.
You don't think so?
I think it's funnier.
At least the vegetarian. Well, it's definitely funnier. Yeah,
I like Lisa the Vegetarian. Lisa the Vegetarian is all character stuff. It's because it's that Homer and Lisa thing stuff in it is what I like the most about Lisa the Vegetarian. This episode's very, very funny. But I just can't I fully recognize that saying that we shouldn't persecute immigrants. I agree. I don't think that is a. I just feel like it doesn't do much more than that aside from do that and be funny. And I'm like, I don't know. It doesn't do much for me. It's perfectly good. But perfectly good puts it probably I like the Apu stuff in it. I think that's really what carries it for me because I need to have some kind of character basis a lot of the time for me to really latch onto an episode. But
it's true because the family's participation in this episode is entirely tangential to what it's actually happening, really.
Yeah, it could be anyone. They just, they're there.
Okay. Well, in that case, Homer and Apu is the obviously other comparison to Apu. Is it better than Homer and Apu?
I like Homer and Apu more.
Yeah, the more I think about it, the more I think you're right.
I like Homer and Apu. I don't know. The Homer and Apu, that stuff in that is, charming and weird and absurd. The stuff in this is, I don't know. The Apu stuff's good. If this episode was just Apu, it was literally more of hey, focused on Apu, and then Homer and everyone else was kind of this episode brings us in with Homer. It's all about how the family feels about this stuff, and then they meet Apu, and then it sort of shifts to become an Apu episode. I don't know. I would say it's in that range. I think it's better than probably Secrets of a Successful Marriage or Home Sweet Home Diddly Dum Doodly is a good comparison point. I think that's actually a good, it's doing it. What it does is fine, but I just don't like what it does that much. I think that's it really well executes that. It's just not what I want out of a Simpsons episode. I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I really like this episode because I really like Apu. I really like his character. He's like a cool guy and who is slightly stereotyped, but not a lot, and not in like bad ways, which again, still a stereotype, but still.
Well, they we've much Apu about something confronts that, but that's a much more recent episode.
Yeah, that's true.
I would put it. How do you feel about it compared to Radioactive Man?
I think it's better than Radioactive Man.
Do you? How about Lisa the Greek?
Yeah. Ooh, I don't know if it's better than that. Lisa the Greek is a really good episode.
I really like Lisa the Greek. I like Lisa the Greek more, but I'm not. That's not necessarily mean it's better.
Yeah.
But I would definitely put it below Lisa the Greek.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, so it's better than Radioactive Man?
I think so, just barely.
Up and at them. What if I said that to you? What about the goggles? They do nothing.
I'd be like, it's a cheap $2,000 forgery.
That's your Apu is not.
No, my Apu is terrible.
Your Apu's not that great. Okay, what do you think about me? What do you think about putting it right below Radioactive Man?
I could be okay with that. What's right below Radioactive
PTA
Man?
PTA disbands.
Yeah, I can definitely be okay with that.
Okay, because I think Radioactive Man is better. I'm fine with PTA disbands being below it, that I think Radioactive Man is better.
So, fair enough.
That's number 52 on our list. Much Apu about nothing. Still, number one on our list is Cape Fear. Last is Homer's Odyssey, number 142. It will be replaced. Something else will be below it at some point. I can almost guarantee
someday.
It. I can almost guarantee it. Yeah, it's not anytime soon.
Yeah.
Our next episode, Matt, is the aforementioned Homer Palooza.
Oh, it's going to be a great one.
I love Homer Palooza. It's a great episode. Homer Simpson smiling politely. you can find this list, the best episode ever list, on our website, simply thesimpsonsshow.com. Links to everything there. Links to new episodes, downloadable and streaming. Links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed. Links to our Patreon. If you want to throw us a couple dollars, help us keep the show going, we'd obviously appreciate it. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixmasterCereal. That's MixmasterCereal. Please check out my other podcasts, The Handsome Boys Comics Hour, which is about comic books, and The Serial Fanaticist. It's Fanatic IST. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That's true. However, in preparation for next week's episode, I'm going to go out and spend way too much time at music festivals to do some research. But seeing as how I don't really enjoy music, if you see somebody who's really bored at an outdoor music festival, that's probably me. So come say hi.
I was going to say that is the most un-Matt behavior that I could imagine going to a music festival.
Uh-huh.
It's outside, crowded, expensive, filled with noise. It seems like the least thing, the last thing you'd go to.
Yep, pretty much. That's why it's funny.
They don't have music festivals in February anyway.
I wish they did. It's a perfect time in Florida.
That's true. That is true. With that, I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching this episode.
Shh.